The Wit from the band, one of the groundbreaking bands of the 1960s. A new biography of the group by author Craig Harris has just been published. It's called The Band, Pioneers of Americana Music. Róisín Dwyer has been reading it for us, and Róisín is with me now in studio. Just before we get into the book on what it's actually saying about the band, how would you describe who they were, how they started out, and how what their place was in music, Róisín, at that time?
The band started out, they joined a rockabilly singer called Ronnie Hawkins at various intervals, and so they were playing rockabilly around the Canadian circuit. Then Bob Dylan came across them and took them into his band one by one when he was deciding to go electric. So they went on that infamous 1966 world tour and were booed. And then after Dylan's motorcycle accident, he decamped to Woodstock. They followed and started creating their own music, which basically created the genre we know today as modern Americana.
Were they a backing band then, sort of to start? Were they sort of session type musicians almost?
They were, well, with Ronnie Hawkins, yes, and with Dylan, yes. So it was really when they came to Woodstock, they started to create their own music.
How important was the Dylan association, and particularly that whole electric row?
Yes, the electric row. That's actually covered very interestingly in this book. Dylan, I think, well, it was pivotal to them and their development, because I think they needed to break out, and this obviously put them on lots of people's radars. When they moved to Woodstock, because Dylan was there, and it was there that they started to come together and create their own music with Dylan, which was later released as the Basement Tapes, and then they began to do their own thing. So it was, you know, I don't think without the Dylan association we would know them as the band today.
Craig Harris, then, where does he fit into this story? How well averse is he in this period in music?
Now, there are some inaccuracies in this book, I have to start out by saying. I am a huge band fan, and I think most band fans are completists. So when I saw this book coming available, I jumped on it immediately. The two books that are currently in existence which tell the story of the band are Lee Von Helm, the band drummer's own book, This Wheel's on Fire, which is very much his version of events, and a book by the journalist Barney Hoskins, Across the Great Divide, which sort of has a pro Robbie Robertson, the band's lead singer, lead guitarist, stance. Now, the band, they were marred by rivalry between Lee Von Helm and Robbie Robertson, so those two separate tomes sort of take very different viewpoints. So I was intrigued by the prospect of an objective book. Yes, a neutral voice. And it starts out with a very protracted exploration of the history of folk music and puts it in a political and social context, which I think is important, because then that sort of sets it up for the backlash against Dylan going electric.
Right. Okay, so it's in three sections.
Yes.
The opening sections is basically this whole history of American folk music to the point where Dylan and the band were there.
Yes, exactly.
That's
yes.
quite a lot to take on in the first third of
it
your book.
It is, and I think it could be a little overambitious, because there are, as I mentioned, there are inaccuracies. But it
you.
Is fascinating, and I have to say, like, he does draw on a lot of, you know, interviews.
Who's he talking to?
He has done fresh interviews with Robbie Robertson, and he draws on an interview he did with Rick Danko, the band's bass player, before he passed away. And he also talks to Pete Seeger. There are fascinating insights from those three individuals, especially on the time around Woodstock, when they were, from Danko and Robertson, when they were becoming the band.
So part one then is this history lesson, if you like,
yes.
of folk music. Part two then is this where he gives the setting up of the band and those early
yes.
incarnations as
yeah, exactly.
with the other two groups.
And he gives a lot of time to their time with Dylan and you know, the backlash, which actually
where does he come down on the whole electric argument and the backlash from that with Dylan?
he presents it as it happened. But one interesting point is, you know, when Dylan famously went electric at the Newport Folk Festival, I think a lot of people thought, oh gosh, the people are booing because they don't agree with this turn in his musical direction. But there are a lot of voices, and Pete Seeger says, no, I think people are actually booing because they couldn't hear properly, because the PA system wasn't set up for an electric performance. So Pete Seeger actually said, you know, I want them to turn down the distortion. So perhaps it was, you know, perhaps it was because they couldn't hear the musicians, as opposed to they thought it was a great affront against the folk movement.
Well, I guess there you go, saying he tells it as it happened.
Yes,
but it's
exactly.
Always going to be an interpretation of what happened. So is he more or less coming down on the side of saying it wasn't the electric that caused the actual use of electric that caused the problem? It was the sound system couldn't cope with what was happening.
I think he points to that as what might have upset people, right. But I think generally it is accepted that it was Dylan was appointed the, you know, the head of this folk movement, and you know, it was a very idealistic movement. It was social and political, and a lot of people saw him as the figurehead, and when he went electric they took it as, you know, to put it in the word of the famous heckler in the Manchester Free Trade Hall, he was Judas.
What about the conflicts then within the band itself and their conflicts with Dylan? Does Craig Harris give us any new insights into those?
They had a very long-standing relationship with Dylan. It was all very amicable. You know, they supported him on tour. They created the music that was later released as the Basement Tapes. They played with him in the Isle of Wight. They created the album Planet Waves. And then they went on a very famous tour in 1974. Famously, Dylan and the band, who had been, you know, booed off the stage 8 years earlier, conducted one of the most highest grossing tours of 1974, you know, and, you know, the joke is they were going out doing exactly the same thing.
Where does Up on Cripple Creek fit into this story?
Up on Cripple Creek is actually, it does. When the author goes through the albums, he does sort of go through each track, and there are beautiful, you know, input from Levon and Robbie and all the band about the stories behind the songs. And this gets back to the rivalry between Levon Helm and Robbie Robertson, because Levon Helm was the only American in the band. So the music of the band is rooted in Southern America. So it is basically Levon's history that shaped the music of the band, whereas, you know, Robbie Robertson claims he wrote the music.
Out that dichotomy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Up on Cripple Creek from the band, and we're talking this evening with Roisin Dwyer about a new book about the band called The Band, Pioneers of Americana Music, written by Craig Harris. So it's called The Pioneers of Americana Music. How does he set out that stall, Craig Harris?
He sets it out he explores all their own influences and the music they grew up with and the music that they brought together to create their own sound, R&B, jazz, boogie-woogie. But what I thought he would do is why not talk to some contemporary practitioners of Americana, like the likes of First Aid Kit, Iron and Wine.
How they
exactly, and see their own influence, which I have to say I thought the book would have benefited a lot from that.
What about you? Most of what you've been talking to us about so far, it strikes me, Roisin, is very much concerned about the music. Yes, maybe about some of the conflicts within the band, but all of the musical conflicts. Does he get into the personalities and how the conflicts fed in there or dripped in there, or did they?
Yes, they did. There is the famous Levon Robbie divide, but also the different characters within the band and their the unfortunate demise of Richard Manuel and Rick Danko. I mean, like when they talk about that 1974 tour grossing huge amounts of money, obviously the temptation is there to give in to the drugs and alcohol that is around you, or to not. And unfortunately, Danko and Manuel did. And it's very marked that, like, after the third album, Stage Fright, I don't think Richard Manuel wrote contributed to any more songs after that, which is very sad.
The career ended with a concert and the film that became The Last Waltz. Does Harris deal with that?
And he does.
Just remind us, for those who don't know the film.
Yes, The Last Waltz is when the band, well, when Robbie Robertson decided to kill the band, they decided to go out with a bang and stage a concert in Winterland in San Francisco and invite along peers and friends such as Van Morrison, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, and put on a concert. And this was filmed for posterity by Martin Scorsese and has gone down as one of the great, legendary concert films of all time.
Have you forgiven Robbie Robertson yet for killing the band? Seems not. You're a big fan.
No, I'm a big, well, I was
of the band.
Yes, I'm a big fan of the band, and I have my Lee Von Helm tribute night every year. So I think, as I state that fact, I think my bias might be clear.
Your colours are well and truly flown. You talked about inaccuracies in this book. Now, I don't want you to label every single one of them, but what were the glaring ones for you?
Well, he got Lee Von Helm's death date wrong. The Last Waltz, for the purpose of the DVD, there were songs recorded after the actual concert on a soundstage, and he refers to those acts as having been present at the concert. Right. So
a bit lazy in some places.
Yes.
But a good editor should have picked that up, surely.
Exactly, yeah. So I think, like, the publisher of this book, I haven't really heard of the publisher, Roman and Littlefield, and I just think a good editor and a bit more careful research, it could have been really great. It's just a lost opportunity, which is really unfortunate.
So even completists, are they going to want this book?
Completists might want it to pounce on the fresh Robbie Robertson and Rick Danko and Pete
Seeger quotes.
For
those who just want a general grounding and haven't read one of the other two books, which would you recommend?
Of the other two books
that you mentioned,
Lee Von Helm's
Lee Von
book.
Helm, but your bias has been already stated on the Lee Von Helm story.
Yeah.
All right. The book we've been talking with tonight, or with Roisin Dwyer about tonight, is The Band, Pioneers of Americana Music, written by Craig Harris, and it's published by Roman and Littlefield.